Thank you, Father, through Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. His word, this book, was in the Ark of the Covenant. That's how important it was. The whole temple is built around this book.
I never thought of
that. Yeah, the Ark is built for this book. You know, the Holy of Holies is this book. This is where Yahweh speaks, the Debir, from where he speaks. And so you're looking at the whole Jerusalem is around this book, the heart of it. So this is something we're going to talk about. We're going to go into two parts. This will be just part one. But it's reflecting upon David and Solomon reflecting Yahushua. So his coming ministry is being demonstrated by these two components. Obviously, Yahushua is the seed of David. David, for 40 years, was a warrior. Solomon, for 40 years, was peace. And his name actually means shalom, peace. Yahushua's life, before he died, was David's. That's his 40 years, David with the sword, fighting. And in his resurrection, when he comes back, it's going to be the second life, which is peace. And that's the new Jerusalem. That's the suffering was when he's manifesting David, and then the glory when he's going to manifest Solomon. And that can be displayed, we're not going to go there, but Hebrews 2:9, Mark 8:31, and Romans 8:17. But we're going to see, you know, there's a big situation with Solomon, and we're going to see that. We'll unveil this. But as you know, Solomon, we're going to get into, was wealthier, had more wisdom, had everything that a parent would not want to give a child. I mean, to us, you gave him too much. You gave him too much. Oh, yeah. And in Kings, he goes bad. Mm-hmm. Right? But in Chronicles, he doesn't. So you have to go, and Yahweh knows what he's doing. Why is that? It's a whole other story in the book of Chronicles of Solomon. And I think that is Christ's kingdom. So the kingdom that Solomon did in the book of Chronicles is Christ's future kingdom. He can relate to that and say, that's mine. And we'll demonstrate that. So we'll see how the relation between Solomon and Mashiach, or Yahushua, how Yahweh named him Solomon, and he didn't name David, but he named Solomon. And the other thing we have to all kind of pray about, which I don't understand, whose was Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba.
Where do we know her from?
Uriah the Hittite.
Uriah the Hittite. Adultery! Mm-hmm. Wow! How does this all work? But yeah, the adultery and murder, this son comes from, and he's exalted. Because I don't understand that. But obviously there's a story there that I don't quite understand. But we're going to the 1 Chronicles 22.
Didn't his son die, though? I thought he had a son die because of the sin.
Yeah.
What son was that?
But their child that committed adultery died.
Oh.
But Solomon was the second child.
Oh, okay.
Which we're going to see. And still from David and Bathsheba, the adulteress. And he's an adulterer. Both of them deserve the death penalty according to the law of Moses. So 1 Chronicles 22. We're going to look at some documentations on this. We're going to read 7 through 10. And David said to Solomon his son, and if you look at the note above verse 2, David's preparation for building the temple and his charge to Solomon and the rulers respecting it. So he's going to be, what do they call it, retrospecting. 7, and David said to Solomon his son, as for me, it was near my heart to build a house for the name of Yahweh my Elohim. But the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, blood in abundance hast thou shed, and great wars hast thou made. Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because much blood hast thou shed upon the earth before me. Lo, now we're going to look at this in relationship to Christ also. Lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. for Solomon shall be his name. And so obviously, Yahweh's naming David and Bathsheba's son. And peace and quietness will I bestow upon Israel in his days. The part two of the teaching is going to be the temple, which we can't cover right now. But he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son. Now look at that. Isn't this Yahushua? We're going to see Yahushua is going to build the temple in the book of Revelation. And he shall be my son, and that was Yahushua, was the son of Yahweh, and I will be his father. Yahweh is the father of Yahushua. Therefore will I establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel unto time's age abiding. So how this reflects, who are we talking about? If you look at that situation, you could reply that to Christ. Now we go to 28 verse 5, same book.
Go to what? 28. Chapter 20.
Verse 5. We're going to document some of these things. Among all my sons, for many sons hath Yahweh given me, he hath made choice of Solomon my son. So, who's making him king? Yahweh. Who's having him build the temple? Yahweh. To sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh. Now look at that. To sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh and over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he will build my house and my courts. For I have made choice of him that he may be my son and that I may be his father. And this is repeated over and over again. So will I establish his kingdom under time's age abiding. That's Christ's kingdom. If he be strong to do my commandments, my regulations, as at this day. Now we go to 2 Samuel 12.
2 Samuel 12?
Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24.
3:32.
Yep. 2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25. And David consoled Bathsheba, his wife. And Bath means what? Daughter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, daughter of Sheba.
I didn't know.
So Ben is son. So we know Ben-Hur is son of Hur. Bathsheba is daughter of Sheba. Huh. His wife, and went in unto her, and laid with her, and she bare a son, and called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him. Isn't that interesting? No, where else did a child be born, and it says Yahweh loved him for her. And he sent by the name of Nathan the prophet, and called his name Yedidiah, beloved of Yah, for Yahweh's sake. And so Yahweh even gave a name. You know, so Christ has a name as an infant. Yahushua. Yah is salvation. This one is beloved of Yah, and he hasn't done anything.
And what chapter are you in?
2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25. Now we go to 1 Chronicles 29. Now this is very important. So Solomon took his seat upon the throne of who?
David? Yahweh.
Not David. Yeah, it's Yahweh. The throne of, it's only used twice. The throne of Yahweh is only used twice. The other in Jeremiah.
Wow.
But Solomon took his seat upon the throne of Yahweh as king, instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel hearkened unto him. Let's see here. And all the rulers, let's see, I'm in the right place, 1 Chronicles 29, 23, 25, 25, and all the rulers and the heroes came over all the sons of King David, gave a hand unto Solomon the king, and Yahweh did what? Magnified Solomon exceedingly before the eyes of all Israel, and gave unto him a royal, think of this as Christ, and gave him a royal majesty that had not been on any king before him over Israel. Here we go. So we got him sat on the throne of Yahweh, magnified Solomon exceedingly, royal majesty. And let's just go to Philippians 2, 6. Sure, we'll know what that's going to say. Here's Yahushua. And the context is this is C and 3. Context in Philippians 2, 3. Nothing by way of faction, nothing by way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourself. So this is going to not talk about Yahushua. 6. Who in the form of Yahweh subsisting, not a thing to be seized, accounted that being equal with God, or Yahweh, but himself empty. This is David. So look at this particular situation as David, who emptied himself, taking a servant's form. And look at that, when he was ready to kill Saul, he said, I can't kill Yahweh's anointed. I cannot kill Yahweh's anointed. And so, look at that, taking a servant's form, and he would say, I'm your servant to Saul. Coming to be in men's likeness, and in fashion be found as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon a cross. That's David. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high. So this is Solomon.
Wow.
You know, so Solomon is going to be lifted, was lifted. And so is Yahushua. For also Yahweh uplifted him far on high and favored him with the name which is above every name, just like Solomon. And in order that in the name of Yahushua every knee might bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yahushua Mashiach is Lord unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. So Yahushua gets to read Chronicles and gets to see his future. And the relationship between David, the suffering, and in Solomon, the glory. Now we go to 1 Kings 4, 29. Watch this. Now, think of this as Yahushua when he reigns in his kingdom. 4:29, and Elohim gave wisdom unto Solomon, and discernment, and very great largeness of heart, like the sand that is on the shore of the sea. I mean, look at this that was laid upon Solomon. So that the wisdom of Solomon excelled the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So that he was wiser than any other man. And Ethan, the Ezraite, and Heman, and Kalkoil, and Darda, sons of Mahoel. And it came to pass that his name was throughout all the nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. And it came to pass that his songs were 1,005. Now this is Yahushua. And he discoursed of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hibiscus that springed up in the wall. And he discoursed of beasts and birds and of creeping things and of fish. You know, he's Google. You want to know. And because Yahweh just poured right into him. And there came men of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, of all the kings of the earth who heard his wisdom. Kind of reminded me of like Elon Musk, I think, right now, where people are just kind of awe on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And Newt Gingrich just said that. He says, Elon is making Trump look like a slacker. What has Elon got his fingers in? Everything. Yeah. And Trump is a workhorse. Yeah. But look at Elon. You're like, what the heck? Where's this guy get time for anything?
Right.
But that's it. So we've got that. So here's wisdom. So we have honor. The other place we have wisdom. And now we're going to see wealth. 2 Chronicles 1. Chapter 1, 7 through 12. During that night, Elohim appeared unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I should give thee. And Solomon said unto Elohim, Thou thyself didst deal with David my father in great chesed, and has made me king in his stead. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, let thy word with David my father be brought to pass, for thou hast made me king over a people for multitude, like the dust of the earth. Now wisdom and knowledge give thou unto me, that I may go out before this people and may come in. For who can judge that this people that is so great? And Elohim said unto Solomon, Because this was near thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of them that hate thee, or even many days hast thou asked, but hast asked thyself wisdom and knowledge, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted unto thee. Moreover, riches and wealth and honor will I give thee, such as the kings who were before thee did not possess, neither shall they who come after thee possess the same. So you're looking at, there is the wealth. And this is what's going to happen to Yahushua too. He's going to have the wisdom. He's going to have the honor. He's going to have the wealth of everything that was laid out before him, if he endures his assignment.
Shalom.
Now, let's see here. And we're going to say, why did Yahweh give Solomon all this power? Because it's actually contrary to his word. And that's Deuteronomy 8:11. And so that was always scratching my head. You're like, what's going on here? As you know, you don't give a 16-year-old $1 million and say, you really made me happy, or $10 million. And what's he going to do? He's probably not going to work. He's just going to go spend and everything else. And we know that. And so you're like, it's nice to honor somebody like David was honored, but Yahweh just poured it on Solomon when we started looking
at his heart.
Well, yeah, but it's something, because we saw he was destroyed because of this. Right? If he completed his mission like David did, okay, it worked out. He did not. He did not, as we're going to see. He did not. And all this went just as Yahweh said. We're going to see here in Deuteronomy 8, 11, 20. Let's say 11. Take heed to thyself, lest thou forget Yahweh thy Elohim, so as not to keep his commandments and his regulation and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today. Lest thou eat and be satisfied in goodly houses thou build and inhabit, and thy herd and thy flock increase, and silver and gold increase unto thee, and all that thou hast increased. Remember, he kept the people in the wilderness to humble them and to see if they would honor him. And so they went through need. You know, went through, became thirsty, became hungry, and I'm going to prove. It was a proving time.
Yeah.
And so, 14, and so thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget Yahweh thy Elohim, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants, who caused thee to journey to the great and terrible desert, of fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty waste, where there is no water, who brought forth these water out of the flinty rocks, who fed thee with manna in the desert, which thy fathers had not known, that he might what? Humble thee. So David was absolutely humbled. You know, he went from herding sheep to being right to the king's son-in-law. That's a pretty good transition.
Yep.
To be hunted and to flee for his life for years. You know, it might have been 10 years that he was on the run. He was humbled. And that he might put thee to the proof to do thee good in thy hereafter, unless thou shalt say in thy heart, My own strength and the might of my own hand have got me this wealth. Alright, so, and you keep reading that. Okay, so Yahweh knows this, 39 and 40. Wait a minute here. Let's go to 1 Kings 11. So you're like, okay, well, what's the story here? So 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6. As we can see, and here's King Solomon in the end. In the Kings, Not in Chronicles. The King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zirconians, Hittites, out of the nations concerning whom Yahweh has said unto the sons of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, and they shall not come in unto you. Surely they will turn aside your heart after their gods. Unto these did Solomon cleave in love, so it came to pass that he had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned aside his heart. Yea, it came to pass in the old age of Solomon that his wives turned aside his heart after other gods. His heart, therefore, was not sound with Yahweh his Elohim, as with the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtaroth, goddess of Zirconians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Thus Solomon did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh, as did David his father. And it goes on, it keeps explaining things like this. And we go to 39 and 40, the same chapter. Thus will I humiliate the seed of David because of this, yet not forever. This is because of what Solomon did. 40, when therefore Solomon sought to put Jeroboam to death, you know, so because and Yahweh anointed him king.
That's just like Saul did David.
Yeah, it really did. Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt. Okay, not very good. 1 Kings 12:4. Thy father, they're talking about Solomon to Rehoboam. So Solomon is now dead. Rehoboam's his son. And they're talking about thy father, which is Solomon. He was such a great guy. Thy Solomon made our yoke grievous. Now therefore do thou lighten the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, that we may serve thee. Okay, well that's a whole other picture. It's like, Yahweh, what did you create, a monster? Mm-hmm. By all this wisdom, this money, and and peace. Because you didn't have to fight for anything, because it's all peace in times of peace. And so you scratch your head and you go to verse 11. Now therefore, whereas my father, Solomon, laid upon you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. This is your offspring. My father did chastise you with whips. Oh, that sounds good. But I will chastise you with scorpions. Wow, so you're looking at, man, is this the same guy? What's going on here? And so how does this reconcile? And so we see two portraits. In Samuel and Kings, all right, we have one individual. In Chronicles, Samuel and Kings does not represent Yahushua. Chronicles is Yahushua kingdom, building the temple. In Chronicles, it appears that Solomon is sinless. In Kings, we see he's not at all. Actually, he's become the enemy of Yahweh. And the only reason Yahweh didn't kill him is because of David's seed. I mean, that's how bad he was. Kings, the book of Kings on Solomon ends in disaster. Why in Chronicles, it's the glory. It's glorious. It ends. Solomon's life ends in glory. So, getting into the temple, okay, because it's all centered around the temple. So we're going to see the next teaching, Moses on the temple. You got David on the temple, Solomon on the temple, Cyrus on the temple, and then Yahushua on the temple.
Moses was on the temple.
Yeah, he built the tabernacle.
That's
the sanctuary. Because remember, this is the sanctuary. This is the set-apart zone where Yahweh abides.
And that's where the Ark of the Covenant
is. The Ark of the Covenant and the Tent of Meetings. And there's a Holy of Holies. And we're going to see next time, Yahweh gave all the instructions to Moses exactly how to build this. Yeah. He's given David all the instructions exactly how to build it, which Solomon ended up doing. We're going to see Yahweh gave the instructions to David. Yahweh gave the instructions for Moses. And Yahweh's given the instructions to Yahushua. Because now we say, well, there was a temple there. No, not anymore. There's no temple. So there's going to be a temple, and that's Ecclesiastes 40 on. Let's see here. Let's go to, where we don't have to go to. In Chronicles, there's five chapters of Solomon preparing to build the temple. That's 2 Chronicles 2, 1 to 7, 11. Okay, Solomon's ends, let's see here, let's just go here to 2 Chronicles, the end of Solomon's, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 9.
Verse 30,
verse 29. Yeah, chapter 9. Let's see here, verse 13 to 15. Now, look at this. Look at the note above on 10. A further amount of Solomon's wealth and fame closed the chronicle history of that monarch. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold.
666.
Now, remember, a talent is 100 pounds. So, you know, 600,000 pounds of gold. Besides what came in from the subjugated, and what the traveling merchants were bringing in, all the kings of Arabia and the pashas of the land were bringing in gold and silver unto Solomon. Wow. Let's see. Oh, and Solomon made 200 shields of beaten gold. We're going to have to go into that. Let's see here. Let's go to 9:22-24. And so King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth as to riches and wisdom. So this is, think of that as Yahushua. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the face of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which Yahweh had put in his heart. And they were bringing in every man his present, utensils of silver, utensils of gold, and mantles. And it goes on. Now we go to chapter 9, verse 30 and 31, his end. And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David his father. And Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. So that's it. Not a word, not a peep about the wickedness that was in Kings with the foreign wives. Doesn't even exist.
Didn't say the foreign concubines. That's interesting. It's the foreign wives.
Yeah, but the concubines, I mean, they're all foreign women. I mean, all you're doing is you're coming in and you're making relations. I mean, obviously, if anybody's pretty, these are all slaves, in essence, when it comes down to. And you're probably taken care of, but guess what? You're not going to have a husband, and you're not going to have children. So we go for next part two into Zechariah 6, chapter 6. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, 6:12. And that's what's so saddening, because supposedly pseudo-Christianity has our finished state in the heavens. The minute you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. This is pseudo, which means false Christianity. It has nothing about the earth. It has nothing about the setting up the kingdom. And that's just, God, it's all over the place. You completely got rid of that, because I think why that happened is because pagan philosophy, Platoism, everybody else, the body was something to get rid of. And so when your body died, your soul or your spirit left. And that's the same thing that Kenneth Hagin and everybody else, all Raymond teaches today. Man's a spirit. He lives in a body and he has a soul. And so when you die, you don't die, you just change address. That's exactly what Plato thought and Socrates thought. That was the same teaching. So we're looking at Zechariah 6, 12 through 15.
What page is Zechariah?
905.
Okay, this is.
And would you repeat the chapter?
6:12.
Yeah, 905. Page 905.
6:12. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And remember, let's say here, then shall thou speak unto him. Now remember, Zechariah and Haggai are written concerning Ezra building the temple. rebuilding the temple.
Okay.
So remember, the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And we didn't even go there, but in Cyrus, this is so neat because the end of the Old Covenant is not Malachi. The end of the Old Covenant is what?
Second Chronicles.
Second Chronicles. Keep your finger here. We're going to go to Second Chronicles. That is the end of the Old Covenant. That's the Hebrew covenant. In the Hebrew book, which are Yahweh's writings, there was 24 books. And then the Septuagint made it 36. Okay. And they changed the orders.
Second Chronicles,
the last chapter, 36, verse 23. So the end of the book and the beginning of Matthew is, you know, the two anointed ones. So Cyrus was the Mashiach. You know, so he was anointed. He was called a Mashiach. 36:23. And thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have Yahweh Elohim of the heavens given unto me. And he, and everybody will say he was a Gentile or a heathen. Never says that. I mean, his mother was probably Esther, and his uncle was Mordecai, and anybody could become a Jew.
People who won't say Yahweh's name.
Yeah,
call
him, a Gentile.
He's calling.
and you say he wasn't circumcised? Is there some place that said he wasn't circumcised? Because when we know in Esther or Nehemiah, after Mordecai became office, people became Jews because of Mordecai and Esther. Uh-huh. You know, so because, and people were saying that with the wise men who came to the birth, they're saying Gentiles. Whoever said that? Mm-hmm. Are you insane? Because if they came from the east, that is
Daniel,
Persia. You know, that
Babylon.
Jews are in Persia. How about Babylon? You know, it's Chaldeans, Daniel, everybody's there.
Yeah.
You got whole Hebrew communities, they're all taken captive, and these wise men are Gentiles? Who said that? On the contrary, you know, even Dr. World said in that book that he's Gentiles. No, they're not Gentiles, they're Hebrews.
Yahweh would have said it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and so, yeah, it's just because they came from this instead of Jerusalem. No, the Hebrews are everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, 23. Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Yahweh Elohim of the heavens given unto me. He calls him Yahweh. And he himself had laid charge upon me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you, all the people with whom Yahweh is his God? Then shall you let him go up. And Ezra begins that same thing too, and that's also in Isaiah, I think, 41. And then that's the end of the book. The beginning of Matthew is, here's the Mashiach, Yahushua, being born.
What about the other books?
They were before it. So.
Pardon me?
What about the other books? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther?
What about them?
Well, you said this is the end.
Yeah, this is how the Hebrew books are done. They're inside between them. You can look up the format of the Hebrews. It's called the Tanakh.
Tanakh. But the Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, they're not in the Tanakh?
Yes,
they are. The order.
Yeah, but not in that order.
Different.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a First Chronicle and Second Chronicles. There's Chronicles. There's not a First King and Second King. There's Kings. There's not a First Samuel and Second Samuel. There's Samuel. So, and then they had the minor prophets. And eight prophets might be in one book.
Yeah. Oh.
They're called the minor prophets, like Joel. You know, you got three chapters. You know, you got Jonah, three chapters. And so these are called the minor prophets. It's one book instead of 36 books. But Bolger has that in his appendix, the first appendix. It'll show you the Hebrew, how it's done. And so that shows you perfect, build a temple, and Yahushua is coming up to build the temple eventually. Back to Zechariah. We haven't gone to Zechariah. Sorry, Zechariah 6. Here's the promise. 12. Then shall thou speak unto him, saying, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, saying, lo, a man, Bud is his name. Shemach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole, the Hebrews all know about this. Shemach is the Hebrew word that they translate Bud, and that was the Mashiach. So this was a sign for the Mashiach. Whole other story altogether. Bud is his name, or Shemuch is his name, and out of his own place shall he bud forth, and shall build the temple of Yahweh. Yea, he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he will bear the honor, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and shall become a priest unto his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the two of them. And so what you've got is, this goes into Ezekiel 40, and it talks about Yahweh and the prince. Yahweh and the prince, the seed of David. The seed of David is the prince. Which we will not do that. So that'll be next time. Alright, so we'll end there. And get to hear from our Heavenly Father, another prophecy. Father, we thank you for all of your word. You abide in us with Yahushua Mashiach. How much closer can we get? Got to let that word sing. So we thank you for these words. Through our Lord and Savior Mashiach Yahushua, be bold and praise my name. Bow down on your knees in order to praise me and exalt me. Because I am your God and your Savior and your Father who has given you life and breathed into your nostrils life that you may be my sons and daughters. So do not fade away in the distance from me, but draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Amen. See you next week.